You are listening to the Two and Out CFL podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
You're one of those weirdos that still buys movies?
I do. You know what? They can never take them away from me. They cannot
take them
away from me.
Grab some poutine and a double-double. It's time for the Two and Out CFL podcast.
Now they have to kick it out, and they do!
Every week, Travis Kura.
Does anybody still care about this podcast?
And Brazilian Tide.
Punters are people, too.
Talk fantasy football, bring you the latest in CFL news, and sprinkle in a little bit of nonsense.
Are you kidding? This is unbelievable!
Ready, set, hunt!
And we are a part of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. I'm Travis Kura. You are Brazilian Ty. And here's your obligatory Don Cherry comment of the day. No comment from Brazilian Ty.
I want nothing to do with this, because no matter what I say, somebody on Twitter is going to be pissed off, and I'm not dealing with it.
If we both take separate sides, we can piss everybody off.
Done.
Here's what I want to do. I was going to put the clock. I think a lot of people are probably tired of hearing about this whole thing. I was going to put the clock at maybe 2 minutes. I'll take the first minute. You take the last minute. If you don't want to take any time, don't say anything.
Okay. You're going first, though.
Okay. I'm
going
to start the clock right now. Could Don Cherry have chosen his words in a better way? Yes. Absolutely. I think we all agree with that. But if you were expecting Don Cherry to be a master of an English language, to think before he spoke, that was never going to happen. He is an icon in this country, and that's part of why I am sort of torn up inside about it, because I've been made to feel bad that I'm a Don Cherry fan, and I feel conflicted because I do feel hurt for those that he did hurt with his comments on Saturday night. And I'm also upset that this overtook Remembrance Day. The lead story in the national news was Don Cherry, not the 30,000 people at the National War Memorial in Ottawa for Remembrance Day. It was just a sad state of affairs. And the more I think about it, does Don Cherry deserve a send-off? No, because this is always the way it was going to end. Period. There's 1 minute, man. You could take the next minute if you want.
like you said, he should have chosen his words wisely. I have every Rock'em Sock'em video. He says "you people" all the time. I don't think he meant it derogatorily.
He has always said that, yeah.
He has always said it. That being said, it is 2019. We are in the middle of cancel culture and all this stuff. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but at some point, the words have to change. There are words we don't use anymore because we know that the negative connotations. I haven't been a Don Cherry fan for the last 10 years because I think the game has passed him by. I don't think he knows what he's talking about, and I don't want the game played by robots with zero personalities just want to beat each other in the face. I think he the mispronunciation of names, I know he's doing it on purpose. Like, there's no way you screw up every name that often. And like you said, does he deserve a send-off? Probably not. We all knew this was going to happen. Rodgers laid off all these people before the season started. They had their chance. They didn't take it. They were just CBC and Rodgers and Sportsnet, like whatever we're going to call the alliance between the two for Hockey Night in Canada. They were just waiting for a reason, and they got it, and they took full advantage. And I, for one, couldn't care less that he's not on TV anymore.
There we go. We're a little over 2 minutes, but that is all we're going to say about grapes today. I do want to mention Brazilian Tide. Did you sign up for Disney Plus? Because it seems like I'm one of the only people that hasn't.
So there is another thing we have in common.
Yeah.
Because I am just going to hijack my friend's account who is staying at my house and be like, hey, man, I'm not charging you rent. Give me your account info.
Here's the thing.
Because I'm watching the animated Mighty Ducks series over and over and over again.
I'm a Star Wars fan. I own the movies. I don't need to sign up for something so I can stream them. I'm a Marvel fan. I own the movies. I don't need to sign up for something so I can stream them. I do want to see...
You're one of those weirdos that still buys movies?
I do. You know what? They can never take them away from me. They cannot
take
them away from me. That is the first time anyone has ever used that on me. Wow. Well,
if the shoe fits. Does your VCR still flash 12?
I actually set up my VCR at my parents' place, so when I go back, I can watch old wrestling tapes and live tapes of the Irish Rovers. And
obviously.
I will say, like, all of these streaming platforms, it does not pay to cancel cable anymore, especially...
No, all you fools that have canceled cable are now going to end up paying more than when you had cable.
If maybe you're a sport... If you're not a sports fan, maybe. But if you are...
Yeah.
You're kind of hooped either way.
I hate streaming live sports.
Yeah.
It sucks.
But cancel culture almost got you, Tyrell. Back in July, you got suspended for 2 games, and you're still here. So you survived the Twitter mob. Well done.
I wouldn't call it a good thing.
Let's talk about the playoffs.
In the Huddle with Karan Ty on the 2 and Out podcast.
All right, the ratings are out for semifinal Sunday, and I gotta say, they're pretty darn good. Both games averaged over 1 million people when you factor in the French TSN RDS in there. Montreal, like 400,000 people watched it in French. I think that's a massive number, but both games surpassed the 1 million bucks, 5.4 million unique viewers, and that's a 10% increase from last year. I think Sundays are where the CFL playoffs need to be.
But more people watch the NFL Sunday nighter than the Grey Cup, Travis.
Now I'm triggered. And don't say, okay, boomer.
No, I'm not, because people just say stuff not even knowing what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like we know what we're talking about half the time, but that's not the point.
You know what? I was actually referred to on Twitter as a pundit, and that was probably the craziest compliment I've ever had.
speaking of which, coaching carousel.
Oh.
That's a drink.
Were you playing the game yourself so you could take a drink?
Dude, if that was the case, I wouldn't be able to record this league.
Like a mother, take a drink.
Oh, my God. You're going to be on your own here right away. Like a mother to Travis. Think about what you just said.
Like a mother, take it. Oh. This is terrible.
Oh man!
Did you catch Dave Dickey? Oh, the cancel culture is coming for this show fast.
You are so done.
Did you catch Dave Dickinson's mini rant on the NFL window?
Yes.
What did you think about that?
I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah, he's not. But I bet you the players love it.
Yeah, I also don't think that you can hold somebody back if they get a better opportunity, regardless of whether or not they're under contract.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's...
Unless you're a coach, apparently, according to some fan bases.
That's fair.
We're getting canceled by the end of this show. Like,
oh, 100%.
The live show is a week from today. I don't know if we're making it.
Do you know what that means, though, if we get canceled before the live show?
What?
Our Thursday at Grey Cup just opened up.
We can start a full, like, 8 hours earlier now.
What? Oh, you weren't going to, really?
There is a number of Calgary Stampeders that are probably going to get some opportunities in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Nate Hawley, Dexter McCoyle already is looking at NFL opportunities. He played, like, 2 games.
Again.
With the team, yeah. Reggie Bagleton is one of those as well. So, I mean, when your roster could get gutted because of that window, I could see why somebody would be a little bit choked. And more Calgary news, they've announced the Grey Cup Legacy Project. Basically, you know, an inflatable dome, so the Stamps have somewhere to go to practice when the weather's crap.
And I'm sure they won't be the only ones using it.
Of course.
It'll be like, you see over in Vancouver with like the speed skating stuff that was out in Richmond, that all that, a bunch of stuff gets repurposed after it's used, unless you're in Sochi, where all that Greece. Stuff is just empty now,
or
right, or basically any other country.
Yeah.
It seems. But I mean, these buildings can get reused and then become community centers, and or they can be centers used by the community for sports and stuff like that. And like you said, they call it a Grey Cup legacy project, and that's what it is. Like, the reason they're getting it is because of the Grey Cup. It helps the team, but it also is going to help the community in the long run too, with all their minor sport, or maybe not all the minor sports, but especially minor football and stuff like that. They'll have an indoor facility now too, if they need it.
Speaking of coaching carousel, take a drink. It looks like the Montreal Alouettes have a press conference later today. Did you see Kahari Jones' post-game speech to the team?
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, this is your chance now to seek this out. It's clear that this guy loves what he does. And mm-hmm. I think he wants to be, you know what? Now it almost feels stupid that anyone ever questioned Kahari Jones being the guy at the beginning of the year. Clearly he was the right man for that job. He took the Alouettes further than anyone ever expected with all of the adversity it was thrown their way. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that press conference today is going to make a lot of Alouettes fans happy and some other fan bases a little myth that they don't have a shot at having Kahari on their sidelines next year.
Oh, yeah, like to not have the chance to even get to talk to the guy.
Yeah.
sucks. But I think halfway through the year, once the turnaround was noticeable, I think teams knew there's no way that we're not going to get it, that we're going to get a crack at this guy. The only hope he had was the whole ownership thing going absolutely sideways and the league being like, we're not paying anybody. And I know he came into the year little to no coaching experience kind of idea, but if you weren't happy that they had Kahari instead of Mike Sherman, you obviously didn't watch football at all last year.
Yeah.
Because how could it have gotten worse?
That's true. Very true.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about the division finals.
Join 2 and Out for CFL Fantasy and CFL Pick'em and show Kura and Ty what you got.
They are who we thought they were.
Just click cflfantasy.tsn.ca.
Enough from talking about it. There has to be consequences.
And pick'em.cfl.ca.
The Ticats are 6.5-point favorites over the Edmonton Eskimos. Of course, the Ticats are undefeated at the Donut Box this year. The over-under is set at 50.5, and the game is sold out. There is some, social zone tickets left over that you can buy, sort of a general admission area, and they're going to have this for the Grey Cup, but I think it's a great idea. It's kind of just... it's innovative. It's the way that sports and events are going. I think people just want to go and hang out and do whatever the heck they want. And mm-hmm. if they want to watch a play here and there, they will. Is there a real... The attendances from the East and West Finals could be close.
Oh, I think 100% they could be.
Once you factor in the social zone and everything mm-hmm. there and the way things look in Regina, the weather is incredible. November 17th, you can't ask for better than 7 degrees in Regina.
not great for my job for it to be this warm this late in the year.
Right. Not great for the pothole situation. It's already getting crappy here in Red Deer.
Oh, just a shocker. all the frost we've had is gone. So,
wow.
Remember that creek? Remember that creek I fell in?
Now it's just
now
a
it's
river.
Like that now, yeah, it's more of a river, but now it's like that everywhere.
Wow.
You're walking in and it's fine, and then all of a sudden, oh, this is muskeg, and it's over my boot. so, yeah, it's not great, but if you're going to go and sit in the stands and watch a division final for the right to go to the Grey Cup, you couldn't ask for a better day.
There was some weather issues in Hamilton at the beginning of the week. I guess stadium crews... They worked 26 straight hours to clear Tim Hortons Field, and it looks like it's going to be in better shape than Commonwealth Stadium last year. I would think
not hard to do.
The weather leading up to the West semifinal in Calgary, I think, was worse than the weather leading up to the Grey Cup in Edmonton last year, and the field was better. Every day that goes on, I think, is just a travesty that that even happened. I know we're a year out from it, but wow.
I think the problem was, last week it snowed a crap ton, but the ground wasn't frozen yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's so much snow now that, I mean, it's not melting right away. Sure, the top couple inches are frozen, but, I mean, if you dig down, you're going to find moisture. Last year, by the time Grey Cup rolled around, we got that cold snap the week before, and they didn't do anything about the field. They were screwed.
These teams obviously played each other twice, and the Ticats handled them. They swept the Eskimos. 72-39 was the...
aggregate.
Yes, but everybody can say, you know, the East is weaker. You know, it's the easiest way to go. I want my team to cross over. The Ticats went 8-2 against the West. The Eskimos did go 5-3 against the East, but their road record is 3-6. I guess 4-6 if you include last week's game in Montreal. But the biggest difference here, Trevor Harris has not played against the Ticats this year, and he has not played against them since throwing 6 touchdowns against them in last year's East Final.
I think that the saving grace for Edmonton is that Trevor Harris got hurt before he had to go against Simone Lawrence. Oh, speaking of haters, we're going to get more.
You're canceled.
Yeah, we're going to... No, and like you said, 6 touchdowns. I don't think that he does that again. But, I mean, there is a possibility. You look at the pass yards against, Hamilton's middle of the pack.
Right.
When it comes to that, they allow 270 yards a game through the air. And, you know, Harris is averaging just below 3, or, well, the Eskimos are averaging just below 300, which is middle of the pack there, too. But, I mean, there is a possibility where Harris, I don't think he puts up 6 touchdowns, but he could have a similar-ish performance. I don't think he throws over 400. So between 300 and 350 yards he get on this defense, I mean, middle of the pack, there is a chance for him to put up numbers.
That being said, the Ticats have held opposing QBs to a league-low quarterback rating of 79.9. But again, the first game against Trevor Harris this season. The Ticats are first in points for. They're first in points against. They're first in pass yards. They're first in first downs. First in second down conversions. They are a complete team right now. But this is going to be a different test for the Edmonton Eskimos. The Ticats have a better D-line. They have a better offensive line than Montreal. They have a better secondary. I guess I just don't know what aspect of that team is not better than Montreal, to be honest. So obviously it's a bigger test for the Eskimos. But the Esks are still, they're just a talented team on paper. They just need to put everything together. They are they're the best pass defense in the league, at least. You know, and the Eskimo secondary is talked about as being a weak part of the team, but they've given up the least passing yards. I think a lot of that has to do with, obviously, the defensive line in the front seven.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're tied for first in sacks.
Yeah.
And they're first in sacks against. They've only allowed 25 this year.
So the Esks are really tough.
They're
in
winning
the
games in the trenches. That's how they're winning football games.
Obviously, a lot of that is Trevor Harris gets rid of the ball just so fast.
Yes.
They are not good in the red zone.
they are not good at turnover ratio.
And penalties, obviously. I mean, last week, Calgary and Winnipeg were 1-2 as far as penalties go. Ticats, third. So there you go. The three best teams probably in the league. And I don't want to ignore the Riders. I know, Rider Nation, you're listening. Don't go crazy on me.
Riders have the 8th most penalty yard. So what are we even talking about?
The Eskimos, 9th.
The Riders are better than one team.
Can the Eskimos do it 2 weeks in a row?
I think there's a distinct possibility. I mean, I'm not going to write them off like I'm going to write off a team in the West final.
Oh, God. But cancel dun, dun, culture.
Foreshadowing. That's what you call a tease, Travis. You're in radio.
I don't know how, but I am.
But yeah, that's fair. But I mean, it's a tall order. I think that, you know, they're going to have to protect the ball, which is evident in every football game you ever play. You know, they are the seventh ranked team when it comes to turnover ratio, which is not good. They're minus seven. Yeah. You know, and going up against a team that can take the ball away. So if Trevor Harris can protect the ball and his offensive line can protect him and give him the opportunity, I mean, Greg Allinson could have a monster game on Sunday, and they could end up, you know, winning by a touchdown or a Sean White field goal when a drive stalls in the red zone. But, I mean, Hamilton is just such a complete team right now, and a week off, I don't know if it affects them that much. I think they'll be ready to go regardless, and mostly everybody's healthy. So, I think that's why we play the game, obviously. But I think if a couple things go Edmonton's way, I think they have a really good shot at winning.
Greg Ellingson, by the way, has been in this league since 2013. This is his sixth Eastern Final
in 7 years.
Oh, he's Mr. Eastern Final. And
who is he? Glenn Hall with the St. Louis Blues when they went to three straight cup finals because they were put in a division with all the other expansion teams.
But when's the last time the Ticats really had a meaningful game?
Grey Cup 2013? No. Grey Cup 2014? No.
I did mean this season.
Oh!
I guess that proves the point.
Well, I mean, we kind of knew this. I didn't think we were expecting a 15-3 record.
Right.
We figured they would run away with this East Division, which they kind of did. I mean, they won it by five games. So, I mean, but as when it comes to meaningful games, I don't know if there was a meaningful game. I think, well, I shouldn't say that. The game where Masoldi went down, I think that was probably the most meaningful game because, you know, that could have been the make or break.
I think the most pivotal.
There was a chance there where Dane Evans could have come in and absolutely crapped the bed, pulled a Kendall Roy, and, you know, this team could have just taken a nosedive, and he took the reins, and they never looked back.
I think the most pivotal stretch for the team was in September when they went to Calgary, lost by one, and then 6 days later, they went to Edmonton, won by a field goal, and 7 days after that, went to Winnipeg and won by three scores. Three Western teams in a row, taking two out of three, and I think there was a blocked field goal in that Calgary game. They probably should have won that game.
Yeah.
And that was probably the most pivotal stretch of this team's season. And after that, they were kind of on cruise control. There have been guys getting rested here and there, and maybe that could affect them.
I don't know if it does. I think these guys know what they need to do, and they're going to make sure they get it done with their time off, and they're going to be prepared. I think they're tired of, you know, finishing first and then just inevitably losing that East Final. You know, I think it would taste a lot better in their mouths if it was Ottawa and not Edmonton.
Right.
But you can only play the teams in front of you, and I think they'll be fully prepared. I don't think we're going to see a lot of rust from these guys. I think everybody's going to be healthy and ready to go. And I get why they rested guys, but at the same time, if you have a bye, I don't think you really needed to. But you want to keep. You don't want guys getting hurt in games that aren't going to make a lick of difference in the standings, so I get that. But then it becomes the whole rust over rest argument. But I think they'll be fine.
The Eskimos need to get to Dane Evans. There's no question about that. It is his first playoff start. I think there's a better chance of him getting rattled in this one than Trevor Harris feeling the pressure. At this point, maybe they are Grey Cup favorites overall at this point. So there's a lot going there for a first-year starter. Maybe he doesn't even get the gravity of the situation from a fan base that hasn't had a Grey Cup in 20 years, and they just want it so, so bad. But Edmonton here, I got a feeling. I have a feeling, and the CFL runs this CFL simulation, and it's got the Eskimos and Bombers at a 5% chance. I mean, I don't know what the betting odds are if you parlay those two teams, but I kind of like it right now.
I don't hate it. I don't know if you know me, Travis, but I am a degenerate.
That probably pays a lot if those two teams win, doesn't it?
It does. But Edmonton, I just don't know if a team can go into Hamilton this year. Like I said, if a couple things go right for Edmonton, they got a really good shot at winning this game. But they are going to have to capitalize on every mistake that Hamilton makes, because they have proven that teams aren't coming in to Tim Hortons Field and winning football games. And Edmonton's going to have to buck that trend. They're going to have to buck the trend of a team never winning the crossover and getting to a Grey Cup. And, I mean, those are two pretty big humps. But with the offense that they have and their defense, which, you know, has been criticized to somewhat, is pretty when you're first in pass yards against and fifth right in the middle of the pack in rush yards against, I mean, it's not terrible. They forced the most two and outs this year. You know, they hold on to the ball. They're third in time of possession. Their opponent red zone percentage is the lowest in the league. When teams get into the red zone, they are the team that stops the most, that stops them the most of the time.
They're tough to get to. 44%.
They're tough defensively. And I mean, it doesn't get talked about a lot.
No.
Because I think them being ninth in penalty yards does not help. Because, I mean, that moves the ball down the field and it doesn't reflect in pass or rushing yards, right? So, I mean, that kind of overshadows it a bit. But they are making stops, like, over half or just under half the time when teams can put up seven. They're holding them to three or less. So, I mean, that is something to look at. But, I mean, Hamilton, the game in Edmonton, Hamilton scored three touchdowns on four plays.
They get off to a fast start. Edmonton can't allow that.
So, yeah, if Edmonton can hold on in like, the first quarter, right, and either keep pace or, you know, maybe only allow, like, 7 or 10 points, don't allow them to put 21 up on the board and you're playing from behind the rest of the day, Edmonton has to have a strong start or else they're going to play themselves out of this game real early.
I also think that Trevor Harris needs to be their best defender again.
a good defense is a great offense because you don't give the ball up.
I don't think we can expect him to have a 92.3% completion percentage again. But
no.
Obviously he has to be on that level still. And one thing that they can't afford to, and it kept Montreal in last week's game, was that return touchdown from Mario Alford, and Frankie Williams can break one at any moment. So they need to make sure that doesn't happen. And I think a return from Jamil Smith would probably be a welcome sight as well.
I think at this point, anything over 20 yards from Jamil Smith is a positive in the Eskimos' eyes.
Oh, yeah. Some practice updates from Edmonton. Colin Kelly wasn't at practice. He's been pretty strong at offensive tackle this year. Obviously, the team giving up 25 sacks on the year, but it's being said that it's a maintenance day. And Anthony Orange was at practice, but he does have one game left on the sixth game. As far as practice updates for the Ticats go, I am intrigued to see who they go with at running back. Cam Marshall had the massive game at the end of the year against Toronto. I do think it probably will be Tyrell Sutton, who has made some pretty good T-shirts. Oski wee wee fill in the blanks. And our friends at Podski Wee Wee, a part of the Canadian Football Podcast Network, they made those this year as well. They looked very familiar. But Sean Thomas Erlington, maybe some people had hopes he would play, but he was at in-street close after the bye at practice on Tuesday. Just wishful thinking. He's probably not going to play.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, by the time the Grey Cup rolls around. But the East Final, either way, is going to be an intriguing game.
I do have some numbers.
Okay.
We were talking about parlaying the Eskimos and the Bombers.
Okay, okay.
Just on the money line, it gets you to plus 708.
Whoa, whoa.
So $100 will pay you $708, so you get back. It returns you $808.25 on a $100 bet, because you get your $100 back plus the bet.
Now?
So that's not bad.
Did you put the money down?
Not yet, because like an idiot, I parlayed last week.
Oh.
Got the Winnipeg game right, and Montreal just shoved it up my hoop.
Yeah. What's your saying? Parlaying's for idiots or something?
Yeah. Parlay or sucker bets. Parlays or sucker bets. But, I mean, it gets the odds up is why you do it. That's how they get you.
Yeah, because you see the possible payout, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah, but like Edmonton's plus 205 on the money line, so you triple your money, and Winnipeg's at plus 165.
I like this.
So it's not bad. And if you take the spread on both of them, it's a plus 264, so it's still not bad.
Yeah, that's not that bad either.
No.
This episode of Tune Out is brought to you by ATB Financial and the Branch for Arts and Culture. For Edmonton band Ultimata, making music together was full-time their goal. Thankfully, they discovered ATB's Branch for Arts and Culture, designed by artists for artists. The Branch for Arts and Culture caters to the unique needs of people who work in creative industries. And with ATB's help, Ultimata has been making beautiful music together. To see their full story, visit atb.com/Ultimata and visit atb.com/thebranch to find out how ATB's Branch for Arts and Culture can support your career in the arts. The Western Final is going to be a slobber knocker, where the Riders are 3.5-point favorites over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The over-under set at 40.5. Plenty of tickets left for this one. The weather's going to be nice. I think just one sentence. Put your money where your mouth is, Rider Nation.
Are you going?
Yes.
Okay, well, then I can't say much because I don't know who you're giving my ticket to, but
I actually don't know yet. I might be there by myself, but driving
might be going stag in Regina. Hey, that always ends well.
Yeah, because you and me together ended well as well.
I blame Neely. We've gone over this. I blame Neely.
Not all heroes wear pants. Did you see that guy in Winnipeg that made a vow never to wear pants until they win the Grey Cup, and he made this in 2001?
I've made some pretty stupid bets. Case in point, Winnipeg 2015. I've seen you wear pants 4 times.
Okay.
I think.
There was a wedding we went to last year. I wore pants.
Yeah.
What were the other times?
Two weddings.
Okay. The other times.
Grad.
Okay. Yeah.
And you wore pants over to my house to crush 2 pills in before you went over to Taylor's house for the first time. You were wearing pants. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
It's like, there's this girl, man. and it worked out.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it, but I know there's 5 because you wore pants the day you proposed.
I did. You're right.
Because I remember you telling me that you had to put them in the dryer because they were wrinkly.
And there was no stupid bet either.
No.
So Zach Collaros is going to be a starting quarterback in Mosaic for the West Final, just like we had it drawn up, right?
Well, I mean, I don't see how this could have played out any other way.
Hey, is the only stat that matters right now that the Bombers are 2-0 is Zach Calero starting?
And that they've never lost a playoff game at Mosaic?
Wow.
Oh, just shove that knife in, eh?
I know the sample size is small, but there you go.
I mean, the numbers never lie, Travis.
The Riders won 2-3 against the Bombers this year, but the Bombers outscored the Riders 58-50 because of that Banjo Bull drubbing. Both teams are 7-3 inside the division. The Riders 8-1 at home, while the Bombers, I guess we can now call them 4-6 on the road after a win in Calgary last year. Both teams are very, very close here for points. Four, the Riders are third. The Bombers are second in the league. I think the intriguing matchup is going to be, again, the rushing. And I don't know if it can be as big as a factor with the game basically 20 degrees warmer than it was in Calgary a week ago. But the Bombers getting nearly 150 yards a game on the ground. They have the best rush defense in the league. But the Riders aren't somebody to... You know, it's crazy because the Riders are second in rush defense, but almost a full and 30 yards a game.
Yeah. 30 yards a game is the difference from first to second.
It's hard to wrap my head around how good the Bombers have been at that.
Before Joe does the math on us, we know it's 28.4, but just get off our ass, okay? 28.6, sorry.
But the Bombers, on the other hand, the worst pass defense, or no, pass offense, sorry, in the league. But pass defense, they give up a lot. The Riders are second to Edmonton by just under 6 yards a game, while the Bombers are giving up over 300 yards a game. But none of that matters with Cody Fajardo in the state he is in. All we can speak about is what happened at Wednesday's practice, when he was working with the first team offense a little bit. From what I could gather, though, they were only dump passes, 5 yard passes when he was working with the full speed offense. He was tossing the ball to Shaq Evans on the side, you know, sort of 15 yards a little bit here and there. He knows he's not going to be 100%. He said he feels it when he runs. I think he's going to play, but I think he's going to be limited. I do think he might finish the game. But, I mean, is a 60 to 70% Cody Fajardo good for your offense?
No, because if he can't run, that completely changes your offense.
Because that's been a big underrated strength of his this year.
100%. The hole hasn't thrown a deep pass yet, so he's Chris Trevler.
He can't
throw the football right now.
I don't know if they're playing games with the coaches. I really don't think they are, and part of it, and maybe this is just my...
You can play games all you want. Michael Shea's not an idiot.
Yeah.
Until it comes to, you know, injury reporting. But... You know, he's going to be prepared he's going to prepare for Cody Fajardo, and he's going to prepare a little bit for Isaac Carker. There's not a lot, he's not going to have to focus too much on Isaac Carker, not a lot of film out there. Right? Focus the majority of your attention on Cody Fajardo, deal with that, and if the change comes on Saturday when the depth charts come out, you can make the adjustments that you need to, because I don't think that they're as worried about Isaac Carker as it would be if Fajardo was healthy.
Maybe this is just my vision of Cody Fajardo. I actually think he doesn't have it in him to lie and play games with the media. He's going to be honest.
I don't think that's why they kind of keep him away from the media about stuff like this.
I think so. But he did give them an update on Wednesday.
He's going to try not to say anything. I don't think he'd try to lie. I think he'd try to omit.
Right.
Try not to say something. Something's going to slip. He's going to smirk at a question. He's going to kind of smile or chuckle at something. And boom,
Here's
there
the thing.
It is. Everybody's figured it out.
The Bombers had a masterful game plan on both offense and defense against Calgary in the semifinal. And
yeah, it was minus eight. That's all you needed.
At the same time, Bo Mitchell said that Winnipeg's defense gave him looks that confused him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to confuse the best quarterback in the CFL right now, and I know some greenheads are blowing up at that statement, you're going to be able to confuse a 70% Cody Fajardo.
Oh, 100%. He hasn't seen the stuff in this league that Bo Levi Mitchell has. He's seen it on film. He hasn't seen everything at game speed, being a backup like he has been for so long. So, you know, they can throw some exotic looks at him. And for those people who say Richie Hall never makes adjustments, well, obviously he did with what the defense was able to give to Levi Mitchell last week, which wasn't much. But yeah, like Cody Fajardo, especially if he's not at 100%, you can throw stuff at him where, you know, if he was 100%, he would be able to scramble out and make a play from nothing kind of thing, where that kind of blows up your blitz a little bit or blows up your coverage a little bit. But if he's not going to be able to run like that, you can just pin ears back and go, because you know he's not going to evade you or evade. You're not going to have to worry about contain so much if he can't get out, if he can't move that well.
Shaq Evans is still limited at practice after hurting his toe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's from kicking the pylon, but that definitely looks boneheaded, more boneheaded by the day.
I would love it if that's exactly what happened. Because it would just be soul riders.
I don't know if it is, but I mean, a toe injury, and he left. I don't know if he was back in the game after booting the pylon, so
how'd you get turf toe? Oh, I pulled a temper tantrum like a 2-year-old.
And without that receiver in the lineup, that's another bad thing.
If you don't have, okay, for the love of God, if you don't have Shaq Evans, and then you have a 50% or 60% or even 70% Cody Fajardo, yes. Naaman Roosevelt, great receiver. Emmanuel Arsenault has done many things in this league. Jordan Williams-Lambert can fill in when needed. You know, you have guys that can make plays. Nobody on that roster really stretches the field like Shaq Evans. And if you take that away and you're going to force Cody Fajardo, who probably won't throw the ball more than 15 yards anyway, to those dump-off passes, your linebackers are going to have a heyday with that.
Kenny Stafford actually,
if there's no deep threat,
was taking reps in place of Shaq Evans.
I forgot Stafford was on the roster.
It's crazy that they traded Christian Jones for him, and he has not seen the field at any time this year. William Powell has not seen the ball as much as we thought he would, and if he does see the ball a lot in this one, it's a tough assignment. With the Bombers,
he's going to be seeing a lot of Drake Nevis.
Giving up less than 65 yards a game on the ground, he's going to have to fight for every single yard, and the Riders are going to need him to fight for every single yard. It's kind of crazy. With the Bombers, you know that they're going to run at you, and what Chris Streveler has been able to do is remarkable. You know he's running, and he still gets 80 yards on, you know, 13 carries on you.
But you can't just assume he's running, because they have Nick Dembski and Andrew Harris that they can hand the ball off to. So you can't just commit. You can commit to stopping the run, but you can't commit to stopping one guy. And, you know, you're going to commit to keeping the runs between the tackles. Well, if he doesn't give the ball to Dembski or to Andrew Harris, and all of a sudden he's taking the ball outside the tackle box, now it becomes harder to contain that run.
Maybe the Riders are going to need to get Thigpen involved in this one too. He's been getting the ball more as the season has sort of winded down here, and they've sort of given Powell, I've noticed, like they'd give him a series off or put Thigpen in for a drive. Maybe they try to get them both on the field at the same time with Cody Fajardo hurting, and with the Bomber rush defense what it is.
Who are they, the Cleveland Browns?
It's not going to be easy. I think that the Bombers and their fans, I think they're feeling pretty good here.
If I'm a Bomber fan and I have a chance to get on a bus and go to Regina for like, you know, a package deal, I'm buying that, you know, 7-8 days a week, twice on Sundays. Like, there's no way I would not be going to this game because it's, if Fajardo is not healthy, I just don't see it happening for Saskatchewan.
This atmosphere is going to be something else.
It's going to be pure vitriol.
It will be the loudest this stadium has ever been, I think. It should be.
But you know what? You know what, though? It could be loud as any game that's ever been there. Well, at least we know the cement won't crack.
Chris,
because it's probably rated for minus 30 degrees.
Chris Streveler seemed to be limited at practice, but I think it's going to be the same story as last week, and he'll be a warrior. And let's face it, Cody Fajardo's a warrior as well. I have all the respect in the world for him dealing with this oblique injury, ready to go into the West Final head on and try to lead his team as he has all year long. The fascinating wrinkle in these two games here is that Winnipeg and Edmonton could play in the Grey Cup and both have a change at coach going into next year.
That's the only reason I want this to happen. And both coaches are gone. Like, it's just absolute chaos.
So
it'd be the best. It would be the best thing to ever happen.
Man, if Edmonton makes the Grey Cup, they have to keep Moss, right?
Do you?
I'd be really interested to think or wonder what Eskimo fans feel about that, because it seems like the majority of them that I talked to would be fine with him being gone.
Dude, Oilers made the Cup Final in 06, and everybody still hated Craig McTavish, so I don't know, like, what they think about coaches in Edmonton anymore.
Switching it every year helps, right?
Dude, don't.
Well, the East and West Final are going to be some awesome games this weekend, and I am really looking forward to... I'd say I look forward to the trip, but I'm nervous about
you
the
don't.
Trip. Just like last year... Where the night before, when they said Brandon Bridge was starting, I wondered if I should waste my time.
When they said Brandon Bridge was starting, I'm like, it took me 2 seconds to decide maybe I should just bet the entire farm on the Bombers this week, and I did.
And it worked out for
you. 'Cause I am a Rider fan, but I'm also a realist.
Okay, who are you picking to win the games?
Hamilton, Winnipeg, just like we had at the start of the year. And this is exactly the way we thought this season would play out.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Because at times...
it's sheer insanity.
At times, it looked like there was zero chance of that happening, at least on the Winnipeg side.
Yep. And, I mean, we had our doubts when Dane Evans had to take over.
Yeah. Exactly. There's a part of me that wants to pick Edmonton here.
Weird.
Why not us?
And that is one thing. It always seems that whenever a team uses that, it always seems to end well.
I know. Somehow they're able to paint themselves as the underdogs, and it just works for them.
And somehow the Patriots do it.
I know.
And it works. So
it does depend a lot, obviously, on Cody Fajardo, but I think I'm going to lock Winnipeg in the Western Final, and then...
And if Winnipeg makes it, I have my wardrobe for Grey Cup set, so it makes life really easy.
And for the East, man, if Hamilton gets off to a fast start, Edmonton can shut down Banks, but they can't shut down Addison, and now Tasker's back. It's just stupid. I'm gonna have to lock it in for Hamilton, but I would not be shocked if that game is close. The Canadian Football Podcast Network Fantasy Challenge is in the playoffs right now. You are in the Final Four. You have Empire Andrew from the Eskimo Empire Podcast. You won the season series, 2 out of 3 games with him. What's your lineup looking like?
I don't know
how. What's your lineup at?
So right now, I have Zach Collaros because he's cheap. Tyrell Sutton, Greg Ellingson, Nick Dembski at my flex, and the Bombers defense, hoping that Isaac Harker starts for the Riders.
The Bomber defense. How much did they cost you?
$4,915. Sorry, I was going to say $49.15, but that's not right.
Awesome. Hey, good luck in the Final Four. We are a part of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. There's another live show that's going to be happening in the Alberta Podcast Network coming up December 1st at the Almanac on White Avenue in Edmonton at 2 o'clock. Let's find out with Chris Changyen Phillips. And basically, you're finding out about anything, whether it's building dams to tracking grizzly bears to planting Capilano apricots. You're learning about everything. This one is going to be all about, how do we make nature? That's a fascinating question. Let's find out. A part of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. And if you need any tickets, there's probably Grey Cup tickets floating around. The Stampeder fans want to unload them for...
Yeah, there was a flash sale on Sunday at about 8 p.m.
Unofficially, of course.
Yes, yes. It's like Black Friday.
East Final, West Final, NHL, Concerts, SeatGiant.ca. Use the promo code APN, and you're going to save 5%. You're going to support the Alberta Podcast Network in the process. Everything up there is in Canadian dollars, so you gotta like that. No surprises with currency conversion on the credit card afterwards. And I know I like saving money, so Alberta or SeatGiant.ca, use the promo code APN. Ty, we're a week out from Two and Out Live, the sequel at Booker's Barbecue Grill and Crab Shack in Calgary. I am so excited for this. If you were on the wait list for Two and Out Live, I think there was probably 11 or 12 people on there. You might have gotten an email to squeeze you into the venue. If you were not on the wait list, book yourself a table. We are literally standing room only. So go to bookersbarbecue.com and book your table for the afternoon of November 21st in Calgary for Two and Out Live. Our first guest, Brazilian Ty's mom.
Oh, this is going to be awful.
Oh, she's going to be in the front row. She's going to be waiting in line to get into this show. I'm so excited that she is a diehard Two and Out fan.
And we're making her wait in line. I'm not letting her in early.
So you were telling me she's been like doing her research on football stats and everything like that.
We have to hope that the Riders aren't. Or no, we have to hope that the Riders are in the Grey Cup.
Okay.
So that Zach Evans can't make the show. Because if Zach Evans is there, it's very detrimental to my parents' marriage.
Maybe your mom could jump up for the brisket eating contest.
Dude, I've seen what she eats for supper. It's like one bun and like half a piece of pork chop. I think you'll be okay.
Oh, man, enjoy the games. I'll see you at Mosaic Stadium. Whoever is there, whether you wear blue, green, pink, or purple, I will see you there, and we'll have a good time watching some CFL football before the Grey Cup. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can find a podcast, and we will talk to you Monday morning.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.